Welcome back to another episode of All in the Library. We are so excited today to have with us Danielle Clayton, the author of the Marvelers series. In our Humble ISD, it has been picked as the elementary school reading list for that one. And we had it on our middle school list last year. So we're getting 2 years of your book. And, you know, I think I first got introduced to it as an ARC. I was walking around TLA, which you probably are aware of, Texas Library Association, and the vendors are there. And I was walking around with another young lady, and we were just trying to pick up some good books. And we saw that one, and the cover, of course, just grabs you from the moment. And I'm thinking, you know, what better way to do some things where you don't just always have the male character as the wizard or the hero in this type of a fantasy series. So I just grabbed it. And then when everybody was reading it, they nominated it for our list. So tell all the kids out there that are watching or that are listening, tell us about the Marvelers. Tell us how you got into that and what plans you may have.
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for reading and thank you for adding it to your lists. Texas librarians are the best. As a former New York City librarian, I just always, always love you all. You just do the best work. So the Marvelers, this came out of basically my library. When I was a librarian in East Harlem, New York, I was dealing with all my students saying that they wanted magic school stories that featured kids like them. And my students came from all over the world. They were first, second, and third generation. They spoke many different languages at home. It was sort of like my own little UN in my library. And the magic schools at the time that were featured and the ones that when I would go to ALA and go to all of these conferences and go to the bookstore, they just didn't have kids from all over the world. The schools were located in very specific places. And I think you know which ones I'm talking about. They're always in England or in Scotland or somewhere else. And I had one kid ask me, he's like, half the time in the summer, I'm in Ghana with my grandparents. And then the other time I'm in New York with my parents. And she's like, if I was going to get an invitation to magic school, where would I go? And I thought, oh my goodness, there's an opportunity here to write a magic school where every single kind of kid all over the world could go. So I thought, where could that be? In the sky. And it could move all over the world and change locations. And it could be a place where everyone could speak different languages, eat different food, come from different places, have different kinds of magic, and we all learn about each other. And so it really came out of a question that my students asked me about, where do they belong in magic school? And I loved magic school growing up. So I wanted to make sure that there was a place for everyone. So I created this world where there are three types of people. There are the Marvelers. They have something marvelous about them, which is their magic, which you're finding out about. Then there are the non-magical people, which we don't really focus on. We don't really care about them. And then there are people called conjurers who are also quite marvelous and have different kinds of magic about them. But the conjurers and the Marvelers have a little bit of history. They have some issues they have to sort out. And the Marvelers were so tired of living around non-magical people. I mean, who wouldn't, right? When you have all of that magic, that they took to the skies and they built a school for their young people and also three cities that move all over the world. But when they left behind the non-magical people, and they also left behind the conjurers, which they have kind of some bruises between them. And so our story takes place with the first conjurer student to ever get to go to this magic school in the sky.
I just think that type of a world, you know, I've talked to so many different authors, and just the way that your imagination works, you know, you think about how gifted you have to be able to come up with that type of a world. And then you know, we can think about it, but to put it down on paper and then to take it into the story and to go the different routes throughout it is just, it's just amazing. And I am so grateful for people like you that are out there that are putting this down and writing so that we can keep our brains entertained and the kids want to keep on reading. That's the thing that kills me. It's like, I have heard numerous times when we start talking about libraries, oh, kids don't read. Yeah, they still read. Yeah, we do all the way up. I mean, they continue. Yeah, it gets a little harder as they get older for time sakes, but they love it. And in your Marvelous world, tell us a little bit. So you told us how you kind of came up with where that was going, but you've got so many different places, and tell us how you come up with all those ideas, because again, that is a talent to be able to do that.
It all comes from being a reader. I was just a nerd and a bookworm as a young person. I mean, I grew up to become a teacher and librarian, and I only started writing books because my students asked me to start writing them as characters in books. And so I came up with all of the different pieces of the world of the Marvelers and the world of the Conjurers just from reading and thinking about what are the things that I find magical, right? School was magical to me. I loved going to school. I loved talking to my teachers. I loved being around my friends. The cafeteria was also a magical place, but I had a lot of fear of food and different kinds of food. And I thought, how cool would it be if I went to a cafeteria when I was 8, 9, or 10 and all of the food was magical? I probably would have tried a lot of different kinds of things instead of sticking to the same old thing, which was the peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day, because there were dumplings that dance. There's pizza that flies through the sky. There's a constellation of sushi. I would have been way more excited about food and the cafeteria if it was all magic. And so I kept thinking about things that were magical, places that were magical. My grandparents are from Mississippi, and I went down every summer, and we would go into New Orleans, and New Orleans was a very magical place to me. It felt like another world when I was like 9, and I thought, wow, there's real magic here. And so I wanted to connect that since I spent so much time in that area. And I kept thinking about what made my family magical to me. My grandmother's skillet was magical. She made delicious food, right? So I literally just looked at the things that I loved, and I said, let me just activate them and activate my imagination around them and add magic to them. So whether it's a location like the library where, you know, there's all kinds of, we have a magical librarian, which might be a thinly veiled, you know, shout out to myself or my favorite librarian when I was a kid, to the cafeteria, to even in your home, what could be magical. And so that's where I start to try to figure out how to build, is like, what are things that I love? How can I make them feel more exciting?
Thank you so much for sharing that piece. And of course, as we know, and you know, if we go on to the Google, we will see other books. So talk to us about this world that you have created and where it's going.
Sure. So right now there are 4 books in the series. And so we have the first book out, The Marvelers. The second book is The Memory Thieves. And I'm about to announce the title for the third book. And I just wanted to create this world where you could find many different kinds of stories in it, right? So you get Ella, our main protagonist, but you also get her 2 friends, Bridget and Jason. You also get to follow the villain and what she is up to, her nefarious ways. And you also get to see what the world is happening. So it's told in found documents or primary sources. So that's the librarian in me. There's lots of different sources so that you can analyze also newspaper articles and leaked documents. And you can maybe talk about how sometimes newspapers have different slants or biases and all of those kinds of things. And I wanted to make it feel like one big puzzle. And so the world is really big. So I tried to make a slice of it so that you could get a taste in every single book. And there's a huge mystery afoot. So there's a lot of things to uncover in the world.
So beyond your children's, the middle grade book that we have, you have some amazing other books out there that were some good YAs and you know, beyond YA. You know, so talk a little bit about that, because we have so many listeners that are the spectrum as well. So talk to us a little bit about the other books that you've had out.
Sure. So The Marvelers and the Memory Thieves in my Conjurverse series is my first series for upper elementary and middle school. But I have a lot of YA books. My first big series was called The Bells series. And there's 3 books in that series. And it's set in a world where everyone's looks kind of strange. But there is these women that there are these young girls who can change you down to your bones for the right price. And it's about beauty and sort of what we're willing to do to sort of change ourselves. And then I also got to write with my friends, which is such a fun thing. You don't realize that being an author and being a writer doesn't mean you're always by yourself. You can actually collaborate and learn to work with other people. And so I wrote 2 amazing books with 5 of my friends. One is called Blackout, and it's about 13 teens who are stuck in New York City when the lights go out, like all over the city. And they're either stuck with someone they like or someone they don't like. And they're all trying to get to a party in Brooklyn. And so they've got to figure a way out of their circumstances while the sun is setting in Manhattan and there are no lights. And then Whiteout is like the snow. So it's about friends stuck in the snow again, sort of about what they like or someone they don't like, but they're also trying to help one of their best friends fix a mistake that she's made. And so they're all working together. And so I've written lots of different kinds of books. Also, I wrote a book for Disney called Shattered Midnight. That's part of a 4-book series about a fairy tale curse that is upon a family. And you get to follow 4 generations of the family. And it kicks off with Broken Wish by Julie C. Dow. And then mine is Shattered Midnight, which is the second book in the series. And you get 2 more after that. So I've done lots of different kinds of books because writing is so much fun. And so I've been lucky to be able to dive into many different kinds of projects.
That is. I just think that being able to do that and that you love it and you can escape into those worlds are just, it's just a lucky, yeah, it's lucky. It feels really good. And Venetia, I know your daughter, did you have her around? I know she was going to ask.
I do. Questions. So both of them have written out questions. Hold on, let me call them right quick. Hold on. Because I told them, wait until we get to this part, girls. Because they already came in. They're chomping at the bit.
Okay, that's awesome.
I love it. The kids are the best. They always have all of the great questions too. I always feel like I'm in trouble though. They're like, how dare you? How did you do this? You know, why did you do that? I get a lot of mail, but I write back. Every kid who writes me a letter to my PO box, I write them back, and they might get a special thing in the mail too. Because I like old fashioned letters.
Okay, here goes yours.
Well, as you hear that for our listeners, that if you'd like to write, Danielle, do you want to give out your address or we'll just send them to your website?
It's on my website, my PO box.
Fantastic. Go to the website and you'll be able to get that and send her a paper letter. What are those?
I know. It right. Also forces children to handwrite.
All right.
All right. This is Malia. My 5th grader, Malia.
Hello.
All right, Malia, read your question to Miss Clayton.
Why did you think it would be a good idea to make Bridget and Ella friends?
Why did I think it would be a good idea to make Bridget and Ella friends? That is such a great question. I think it's because they're both outsiders, but they're outsiders in different ways. Ella's an outsider because she's the first conjure student to be at the magic school. And Bridget's an outsider because she doesn't know anything about magic, her magic or Marvelers, and she feels like a fish out of water. So I thought their friendship could be interesting because they both have a similar problem. But they're very different, right? Bridget's a little bit grumpy and Ella's more sunshine. And I thought a grumpy sunshine pairing friends would be great as well. And because they'll get in a lot of trouble and maybe fuss with each other a little bit. That's such a good question. Thank you.
Okay, this one is Mariah's. Okay, come over, Mariah.
Okay.
Okay, come on, she's ready. And then mommy will read it for you. If you just stand in the camera and I'll read it for you. If you're shy. Here, come over. This is my shy one.
Hello. It's okay to be shy.
Okay. You want to read it? What did you write? And she wrote it herself.
Excellent. I know she has great handwriting.
Why did the other students have to be so mean to the conjurers?
That's such a good question. Why did the other students have to be so mean to the conjurers? I think at times, especially when I was a librarian and teacher, I found that other students were mean or not very nice to people they didn't know or about things they didn't understand. And so I found it very frustrating, and I would work with my young people a lot on this idea of kindness and community and how do we make space for other people even when they're different. And I thought it would make for an interesting conflict at the magic school if everybody's already different. And what happens when all of those different people label a whole other group of people too different, right? How do we make space for each other? And how do we teach kindness? And how do we make sure that our communities are open for everyone? And so I think the students were very mean about Ella because they didn't understand her family. They didn't understand her magic. They didn't understand where she came from because they'd been told lies their whole lives about her group of people. Such a great question. Thank you so much.
Yep, that was their question.
Those are so good.
Thor, do you have some questions of your own? Or at least tell us a little bit about what you're seeing with the book.
Well, I told her I really enjoyed the book. I love the representation in this book. I love that the character, I love that you talked about natural hair. I love that everything just reminded me of me as a young girl growing up in the suburbs. And I really identified with this character. And I think that other young girls will identify with this character. I like that you brought the outsiders kind of together. And I like that there was always mystery. I liked being able to see the story from what the villain was doing. And I liked being able to see, you know, what Ella and her friends were doing. I liked being able to see the different places, because a lot of times when we read books, we only see it from one person's perspective, and then we have to speculate maybe what the other person is thinking. But I liked being able to see, it's Gia's turn. Like when it would flip to Gia's turn and we would see what she was doing, I was like, What's Gia up to now? You know, what kind of foolishness is she getting into now? Being able to be like, oh, I bet this is what's going to happen. Oh, I bet this was going to happen. And, you know, not being able to predict, but to think maybe like you would give us little hints, like that's what it was going to be. And then when we get to that, you're like, I said that out loud when we got there. So I loved all the twists and turns and all of that different stuff. It was a lot of action. And it kept us on our toes the whole time. That's what I liked about it.
I so appreciate it. And I wanted you to be able to follow the villain, because I wanted to have a conversation with young readers about what makes someone good, what makes them evil, mm-hmm. How do we categorize people? How do we, you know what I mean? And if you are categorized in one bucket, can you change? Can you go to another one? What is in the middle between good and evil? What is in the middle between those things? And I thought it would be interesting for them to follow Gia, who has her own trauma and her own issues and maybe her methods, not so great in what she's up to, but she's asking you, the readers, to consider her point of view and consider what she's thinking about, whether it's good or bad. And so she's a lot of fun to write. I love writing villains.
And I kept wanting to think, I was like, oh, she's gonna transform. You know, like I kept trying to see the good in her. Like I was like, oh, you know what? When we get here to the end, you know, this is what's gonna happen. So I'm really curious. We said that, you know, since it's still Battle of the Books right now, and we're reading other books right now, we said we were gonna read book two in the summertime, because, you know, now we have to know what's gonna happen after the way this one ended. We have to know. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh my goodness, so are we gonna read book two? I was like, let's finish reading all the other Battle of the Books books first, and then we'll start reading book two in the summer.
And then we'll be ready for book three in the fall.
And we'll be ready because, like, we're in now. We are marvelous. Oh, I forgot to, Mariah's that's my shy one, but she said if she could vote for Blue Bonnet Books, Marvelous was her favorite. That was the youngest one.
Oh, I so appreciate her. Oh my goodness, she's like my little Winnie.
She said yes. And that's who we were reading. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, oh, I said, Lee, she has a little sister too. And so I thought that part was cute. We said that was who they were, because Malia is 11 and Mariah is 6.
It's perfect. So, I was like,
we thought that was perfect. I was like, oh, that's Winnie and that's Ella.
Yep. And Winnie's going to have a lot of revelations in books three and four.
That'll be good.
Mm-hmm. You know, we really
enjoyed it. It was really nice.
Oh, I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.